God bless the dead.
That's right. That's right.
The rappers Tupac Shakur and Notorious Big, also known as Biggie Smalls, will forever be linked in the minds of those who follow hip-hop culture. Not only for music writers and fans, but for the Los Angeles Police Department, the Los Angeles Times, and maybe even the FBI.
Yo, Big, this is to you, my nigga. Springfield Hottest Crew, Hug Life, YG's, sending their respects, you know what I mean? You my nigga for life, forever. You're always gonna be with a nigga, no matter what. Don't forget that.
Mr. Shakur and Mr. Smalls, whose legendary friendship descended into a famous rivalry, were murdered within 6 months of each other. Mr. Shakur died first. He was shot to death in Las Vegas in September of 1996. Mr. Smalls was shot 6 months later in Los Angeles. In both cases, the culprit was a drive-by attack. The crimes have never been solved, nor has anyone ever been arrested or officially named as a suspect. Now, short of hard evidence, all manner of theories have surfaced to explain the killings. Mr. Shakur and Mr. Smalls apparently relied on warring street gangs, the Bloods and the Crips, respectively, to protect them. A recent report in the L.A. Times says that Mr. Smalls offered the Crips $1 million to kill Mr. Shakur and provided the gun to do it. That report also says that the Bloods later killed Mr. Smalls in retaliation. And now a new documentary suggests that the two murders were masterminded by Marion Shug Knight, the founder of Death Row Records. Filmmaker Nick Broomfield has just released the documentary, Biggie and Tupac, here in the United States. He joins us from London. Mr. Broomfield, thanks very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
I want to ask you about the connection you have in the film with Biggie Smalls' mother, Vannetta Wallace.
Yes.
And we want to play, if we can, a clip of her describing the man she knew, of course, as her son, Christopher Wallace.
My son is a poet, was a poet. He was a writer. He was somebody at times you want to kill, you want to strangle. But I'm his mother. You know, he was a very generous person, very sincere, and sincere to his word, to his friends.
What soured this friendship between Tupac Shakur and Notorious Big? They had been friends.
Well, I think, yeah, they had very much been friends. I mean, you know, and this is, you know, very much from what Valletta has told me, is that Tupac was very much Biggie's mentor. And then I think that there was a shooting in a recording studio in New York, and sometime after, Tupac got it into his head that Biggie was responsible for the shooting. But in fact, you know, immediately after the shooting, when Tupac was in hospital, Biggie was one of the first people to go and see him there. I mean, I got that from Tupac's father. He commented on how sincere he was. So It just seemed unlikely behavior.
Among the charges you make that I guess have certainly earned the most attention is that you insist that the Federal Bureau of Investigation had been investigating gangster rap scene.
Absolutely.
And that at the time both these men were murdered, there were agents who were close at hand.
Indeed so.
I guess the implication being maybe they had some prior knowledge and didn't intervene or something even worse than that.
The cause for concern, or my cause for concern, was that the FBI were there right up to and probably including the time when this shooting happened. But that information has not been made available. Mm-hmm. You know, I have photographs that were taken by the FBI the day prior to Biggie Smalls being shot.
I called the FBI agent who took the photos.
Hello?
Oh, hello. Is that Detective...
It would be, yes.
I was wondering if I could talk to you, because I understand that you were following Biggie Smalls and Puffy Coombs at the time that Biggie's...
Who are you?
My name's Nick Broomfield.
Yeah?
And I was just... I saw some photographs that I believe you might have taken, and I was wondering if I could talk...
What do you do for a living?
I'm a documentary filmmaker.
Where'd you get my number?
Sorry?
Where'd you get my number?
Sorry?
Who gave you my number?
I really don't know offhand who that was.
Okay, well, when you figure it out, beat me. I'll call you back and we'll talk.
Reviewers have noted that you're almost as much of a character in this film as Tupac Shakur or Biggie Smalls. You devote a lot of attention to telling us how difficult it was to make this film.
No, I don't think so.
Let's cue up something. I think we have an example. You were interviewing... I don't think there's any reason to be embarrassed. You were interviewing Tupac Shakur's stepbrother.
Considering what Pac was going through, he had... On top of getting out of jail, there was new problems. So, the plan...
Unfortunately, we ran out of sound.
Now... Not that there's only one way to do these things, but it seems to me if we ran out of sound, you know, we would go on to something else or make the point some other way. We wouldn't make a point of telling the audience that...
Well, the point of it really was we then wandered into a conversation which wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm a character in the film who is a storyteller. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it's a device to hold a story together.
To what degree had you followed the story of Tupac Shakur and Biggie Smalls and their rivalry and their deaths?
I think I was, you know, aware of their music and I was aware of who they were. It was only really when I read that Russell Poole, who was the lead detective at one stage in the Biggie Smalls killing, was resigning from the Los Angeles Police Department because he was unable to investigate fellow police officers whom he suspected of being involved in the shooting of Biggie Smalls, that I really became interested.
He suggests that LAPD officers, Los Angeles Police Department officers, were essentially in the pay of Suge Knight and that they orchestrated the drive-by shooting of Notorious.
Well, I think that there were two things here. One is that about between 30 to 40 Los Angeles Police Department officers worked off-duty for death row, doing security and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously questions are raised as to whether or not it's possible to be a police officer, albeit an off-duty one, and work for an organization that, you know, mm-hmm. where there's a lot of drugs around and there's a lot of violence and mm-hmm. And so on. So that's one thing. But the second and more specific allegation, I guess, that Russell Poole is making is that a couple of police officers, namely David Mack, who's actually currently now serving, I think, 10 years in prison for armed robbery, mm-hmm. was involved in this shooting, that Rafael Perez was involved, and he also named someone called Amar Mohammed as being involved specifically, and these were the people he was unable to question.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I think, the source of his ultimate frustration.
Of course, this raises the question. Tupac Shakur was earning a lot of money for Suge Knight, millions of dollars a year.
Yes.
What would his interest be in having the man dead?
Well, at that point in time, Tupac Shakur had discovered that the Rolls Royce that he was driving around in and the house that he was living in didn't actually belong to him. He thought they were his, but they actually belonged, you know, they were either mortgaged or they belonged to death row. And he was owed something in the region of, you know, $10 million or more by death row, and then announced that he was leaving death row and had started financial investigations into the money that he was owed mm-hmm. by death row. And these investigations happened prior to his shooting, and I think that that would probably be the motive.
Mm-hmm. Suge Knight was serving time at a maximum security prison in Northern California, and you interviewed him.
Right.
Your regular cameraman was... How do I say this? Concerned. Did you ever hear anything in Suge Knight's language that you took to be a threat toward you or any member of your crew?
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. No. I mean, I just met him in the prison.
Yeah.
So, I suppose what I found amazing about the interview was that, you know, Suge Knight agreed to do it, provided he could talk about what he wanted to talk about, which mm-hmm. was he had a message, a special message for the kids.
Let's listen to a clip from that conversation.
I would like them to understand that basically all the artists, if they get in trouble, these guys have record companies backing that would get them high-powered lawyers. 9 out of 10, they would never, ever, you know, come to the penitentiary. But the guys in the inner city, if they get in trouble, they have what we call a public defender, which is they're not going to have the best.
So he starts off with this message, but he ends up, you know, literally, I think, 7 minutes down the same camera roll, basically just threatening Snoop Dogg.
If you hear about a lot of the artists, you might hear them getting caught with drugs, getting caught with a gun, stab somebody, do those type of crimes, they're not going to come to prison. One of the reasons that nigga
come. Like Snoop?
Well, Snoop would never come. You know, we beat a murder trial for him, but then he was on probation. Then he got caught with 2 ounces of marijuana. Then he got caught with guns. And each time, it's nothing. They're not going to violate him. There's no puzzle. I mean, if you get a guy that constantly getting in trouble and never going to come to prison, that's because he's an informant. He's a rat, a snitch, you know.
Obviously, you know, in Compton, which is, you know, a gang-controlled area, to be a snitch is pretty much like putting a death sentence on someone's head.
And there's something on a website that seems to follow up and confirm this language?
Oh, yes, there was a Death Row website, which had a message to all dogs. A dog dying noise after the gunshot.
Hmm. Where do you rank the people you've done this film about?
Well, I think that Tupac and Biggie Smalls were extremely talented individuals. You know, Tupac had a scholarship to the Baltimore School of the Arts, which is an amazing institution. He was highly respected by his teachers who we talked to. And the same thing with Biggie Smalls, Christopher Wallace. You know, he was an A-stream student. He actually went to private schools, highly accomplished. He was writing poetry from sort of the age of 9. So I think with both of those two, it was no accident that they became the sort of stars that they were. I think they were both, you know, poets, different from each other, but, you know, very, very good at what they were doing. I mean, I think they were surrounded by a culture, you know, which is, you know, a very violent one and a gang-infested one, too. But I think that their influence will be felt for a long time to come.
Mr. Broomfield, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nick Broomfield, who is the filmmaker behind the new documentary, Biggie and Tupac, speaking with us from London.